time once again for Community Forum, and we are very lucky to have with us live in the studios this morning Armin Yusufian, who is a local businessman and managing partner of the investment group for the University Plaza Hotel. Armin, thank you for coming in this morning.
Good morning, Mike. Thanks for having me on your program.
Our listeners might know of Armin from the recent articles in the Seattle Weekly and the interview we had done here on Mind Over Matters with Rick Anderson of the Seattle Weekly. Armin was the man that had started the ball rolling on extracting the public documents of the fiasco surrounding the Seahawks Stadium. Armin, can you tell us what's been developments over the last couple months with that? Where are you now?
Okay, well, since your interview with Rick Anderson, Mike, we've filed what's called a petition for review with the Washington State Supreme Court. So that's basically a document asking the Washington Supreme Court to accept this case. They don't accept all cases. It's a 20-page petition. And then there's a period of time, 60 days, after we filed that petition, which we did, I think it was mid-March, March 14th or something. And there's 60 days for the county to respond and for other interested groups to file what are called amicus memorandum in support of or in opposition to the petition for review. So about April 14th, King County filed a petition for review, or an answer to the petition for review, opposing the notion of this going to the Supreme Court. And now we're in a 30-day period following their having done that, where a number of groups, public interest groups and so on, we anticipate will be filing their 20-page amicus memorandum in support of the petition for review. And for all we know, there will be other governmental agency organizations or whatever who will also file those types of memorandum or memoranda, perhaps supporting King County's position, opposing it. I mean, we're trying to get the Supreme Court to clarify a number of issues and inconsistencies between the different divisions in this state of the Court of Appeals, and it seems like King County would like things to just stay the way they are and have the verdict be no worse on them than it already is.
And the verdict centers around the fact that you tried to get documents from King County and that they are withholding these documents relating to the stadium, is that correct?
Right. To this day, King County continues to withhold documents to the point where we've identified documents that we know they have and which they still have not officially given to me, many of which I have come into my possession through the efforts of other people who obtained them through King County, through efforts independent of mine, and which ended up in the hands of Rick Anderson, and that Rick Anderson used in that very lengthy 5,000-plus word article he did in mid-February. But I haven't received those from King County. And there are probably more documents yet. I mean, we just don't know. We just keep uncovering more and more as time goes by. And one of the issues in the Supreme Court appeal is that the trial judge back in September of 2001 ruled that reasonable disclosure had been made, but our position is a trial judge should not have the discretion to say, well, you know, what you've gotten is good enough. It doesn't matter if you didn't get every single thing. You're entitled to all of the documents. And anyway, so that's one of the issues that we're trying to clarify in going to the Supreme Court, that the standard should be that complete disclosure should be made. And that's certainly what the Public Disclosure Act seems to say and intends.
And the documents that you've dug up have been pretty damning as to deal that the King County has swung with Paul Allen's Seahawks Stadium.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, what it reveals is that rigged studies were ordered and paid for with taxpayer dollars to create a false appearance of, you know, where the economic benefits were and what they were, and that the kingdom was not worth saving. That's a total bunch of baloney and an economic crime that the kingdom was demolished. It was a perfectly usable, practical building, and if we were to have built a a publicly subsidized football stadium. It could have been built on the north parking lot. We could have still had the King Dome and used it for the functions that it was capable of hosting that neither the baseball stadium nor the football stadium could can be used for. So basically it looks like the public was hoodwinked. Our own money was spent on studies. Our own money was spent on a citizens advisory board to create the sham appearance of citizen involvement. And it was, you know, appears was fed some rigged studies and so on. And the bigger picture is, it seems like this is the pattern, the script, the pattern of conduct that Ron Sims uses throughout King County government to pull off other shenanigans. I don't know what his total agenda is, but I've been in contact with or hearing from, been invited to meetings of citizens, just common ordinary folks all over the county who've got their own stories of maybe a, you know, $500,000 bike trail or, you know, whatever it might be, and it's the same script. It appears that something is planned. It doesn't necessarily make sense. They look into it. It doesn't take a whole lot of effort to see that something doesn't make sense because they live in that neighborhood or whatever. And, they make some noises. Some sort of a citizen advisory board gets created. They're on it. 90 or 99% of the testimony goes one way. And then it's all ignored. And, you know, this seems to be the pattern. Seems to be the script that's followed.
All right, well, let's talk about one of those incidents that you have firsthand knowledge of, and that would be a permit fee increase that affects restaurants. And you, of course, have a restaurant in your hotel?
Correct.
And so how did you find out about this originally?
Well, about March 1st, opening the mail, and in comes one of the 20 or so different licenses, permits, and fees that I have on my hotel. I've got elevator permit fees and boiler permit fees and sign permit fees and so on. And in comes around March 1, the annual restaurant license permit fee invoice, and it had gone up on my particular size of restaurant 24%, but on smaller restaurants 74%, and on some types of operations 224%. But anyway, I opened this thing and noticed that the fee had suddenly jumped up substantially, and it was accompanied by a cheery-looking newsletter called Hot Off the Grill from the Department of Public Health, Seattle and King County. And Hot Off the Grill is the same name as what has been used for approximately 10 years by our State Restaurant Association for their newsletter, so that seemed a little confusing. And it was in very cheery, this newsletter from the Department of Public Health was in very cheery type font, and it started talking about how there was an increase in permit fees approved for 2003, which seemed sort of Clinton-esque, fees being approved. And anyway, as I read through it, it talked about how they had budget problems and this and that, and that they had looked at what they could do to decrease costs and whatnot, and then started talking about how they had created last fall a food stakeholder advisory committee and listed the members, and this would be like an industry a group with people from industry to provide input into the department. And I'm familiar with those kinds of concepts from my own 30 years in the business world and having served on some of these kinds of committees in the past. And what caught my eye was it said that they had taken these proposed fees to the Food Stakeholders Advisory Committee, and that the members had asked very good questions about the increased fees and, quote, in the end, agreed that the fees needed to be raised, unquote. And I just could not imagine that anybody in the industry would agree that fees needed to be raised. And I was just very curious and skeptical of this, and I knew one of the people on the Food Stakeholders Advisory Committee. He was our governmental affairs director for the Washington State Restaurant Association. I'm active on that committee, and I know the person. So I emailed him with what I had just read about and asked him if, in fact, this was true. And he emailed back that, in fact, he and many others had testified in opposition to these fees and attached to the email the verbatim transcript of his testimony. Well, that led to my becoming aware that the King County Board of Health, which is under Ron Sims, had a website, and there the minutes of all their meetings are posted. So I went to the minutes of the November 15th, 2002 meeting, which was when the fees were increased, and there was 20 pages of text on the website, and I found that just on the food service establishments part of this, because there were about five different areas where fees were raised, but just on the food establishment permit fees issue, approximately 10 people testified. The verbatim transcript of their testimony was at the Board of Health website, and every single person testified in opposition to the fees, and two of those additional 10 people that I became aware of as having testified were on this stakeholders advisory committee whose names were on the fourth page of this newsletter. So now we had three out of the 10 or so people on the stakeholders advisory committee testifying in opposition. No one testified for these fees. And so the next step was I started calling county council members who were on the Board of Health and told them what I had discovered and wondered what the heck was going on. And eventually some inquiries were made, and staff of Dow Constantine's office got back to me to tell me that the Department of Health now acknowledged that that statement was a misrepresentation, and they were preparing a retraction, and the staffer indicated she'd have a draft that afternoon and she would presumably be getting it to me, but that was 2-3 weeks ago. I haven't seen it, and that they would be mailing this retraction out to the approximately 10,000 business establishments to whom they had sent this newsletter in the first place with the misrepresentation. So great use of our taxpayer funds to first make a misrepresentation to us, then get caught, and now money's going to be spent sending out the retraction. So my reaction to that was, well, this is a good start. And where we need to go with this is to rescind these fee increases, and I started making more inquiries.
And what did you find from your inquiries? Because it sounds like you already had experience with doing public disclosures.
Well, yes, of course. Since I've had years of experience, I've been honing my talents that I never expected to ever develop in my life with this thing that started in 1997 with Ron Sims and trying to get the economic studies that he was quoting from, misquoting from, I now know, and distorting and inflating. I mean, he was quoting from studies that were already rigged, and, you know, as if they weren't rigged enough, he would inflate them even further. But what I, March 25th of this year, I ended up doing a wide-ranging Public Disclosure Act request of the Department of Public Health for a variety of documents related to how they came up with these new fees, who wrote this language that said what it said, and on and on. And what I ended up discovering was the way they came up with these fees, first of all, is that they developed a reasonably organized system of time allowances for how long it takes to inspect different types of establishments. Those time allowances seem to be grossly inflated. But anyway, let's take an espresso stand that had its fees raised 46% or something from, it's something in the $400 range, I believe. I may be not looking at my notes right now. They're allowing, approximately 1 hour per inspection, two inspections a year, plus a third, what's called educational visit, which is slightly shorter in duration, maybe a tenth of an hour or less. The reality is it takes about 10 minutes to do these inspections. We're talking about espresso stands that might be an 8-by-10-foot building, and about the only thing they've got that is to inspect is the milk that they're steaming. I mean, the rest of it is coffee that's going to be under steam, and it would kill any germ, etc. I mean, there's not much to inspect. And so the time allowances seem to be highly inflated. I found that the state law requires only one inspection per year and suggests more if certain criteria apply, such as, you know, high risk activity. Well, you know, if you've got hamburgers in a McDonald's or whatever, where you're dealing with E. coli issues and so on, you know, that might be higher risk. but we're talking about steaming milk in an espresso stand. I mean, there's not much risk that if the milk gets a little old or whatever, you know, it's going to taste sour or whatever. But anyway, it could be reduced to, say, once a year. I've even found internal recommendations currently and going back as far as 12 years ago inside their own internal recommendations that they reduce some inspections on low-risk establishments, specifically espresso stands, to annually. But anyway, they had these time allowances, three inspections under visits a year, and then the hourly rate is $142 an hour. Now, I don't know for sure what inspectors are making, but the documentation I've seen is allowing for about a $64,000 a year base salary for food inspectors and another $17 an hour or something for benefits, vacations, medical benefits, and so on. They come up with about $82,000 a year is the number, and then about 1,100 or 1,200 hours out of the year actually in the field. And so, you know, this builds up to something like a $70 hourly rate for the inspectors, and then it ends up being about $142 an hour when they add overhead and computers and this, that, and the other thing. So this is how they came up with the fees on these little espresso establishments. Now, it's not unusual for in this economy, for an espresso stand owner to be working 60 hours a week, 5 days a week, and maybe half or two-thirds days on Saturdays, and taking home maybe $20,000 a year. And this fee alone, as one letter writer said, is 2.5% of my income, the new fee. So these are the kinds of things that I found. Then the next thing I found was that these stakeholder advisory committees, there were about five of them created in five different areas. It's not just food establishment fees on approximately 10,000 food establishments in King County that went up. Pool and spa permit fees went up. Plumbing fees went up. Septic tank fees. There's five different areas where they created stakeholder advisory committees to provide input. Now, These stakeholder advisory committees were created about July of 2002, ostensibly for the purpose of establishing a dialogue with the industry and so on. Well, if that's a good idea, why weren't those things in place before? I've served on committees like that that have existed in state government as a mechanism for private industry and the accountants and lawyers and so on to provide input to different state agencies. These things have existed for 30 years. I was involved in these things 15, 20 years ago. So it seems like they're suddenly deciding that this is a good idea, and they created this stakeholder advisory committee in July of 2002. Well, I started seeing internal emails as a result of my public disclosure activities, and I've made four visits to the Department of Health, spent approximately two or more hours there every time, and then tabbed things for photocopying. And what I discovered was internal emails marked confidential, for your eyes only, internal use, do not forward at this time, starting early in 2002, months before these fee increases were known by anybody, saying, we're thinking about raising fees and here's how we're going to go about doing it. And it was obvious a small number of people were meeting about this and talking about it by emails, but not to be disseminated very widely. And these emails talk about, we need to have a meeting with to discuss how to strategize this and get our political strategy and so on. Now, I don't have any notes or whatever of those meetings, if there were any notes. But next thing you know, by June, they've started creating these stakeholder advisory committees. They've got, in black and white on spreadsheets, planning agendas and timelines for identifying people to be on these stakeholder advisory committees and to have the first meeting in July. So next thing you know, in the first meeting of the stakeholder advisory committee is in July. The agenda mentions nothing about any proposed fees, but talks all about we want to have dialogue with the industry, and it specifically mentions as a line item that one of the things that we want to have is a cost structure that recognizes the economic realities of the restaurant business and so on, but doesn't mention that already they're planning to increase those fees. Then by about September, there are internal emails. It's obvious that no later than September, they were planning, certain managers were planning to discuss with the food stakeholders Advisory Committee the proposed fees, and suddenly, about a week before the September meeting, there are emails indicating that at the direct order of the King County Executive, the proposed fees are not to be disclosed to the Food Stakeholder Advisory Committee. And then there are emails going back and forth from some managers saying, basically, I'd like to get clarification. Are you saying we're not to tell them this? Because we were planning to tell them this. And please, I want to be clear. And then something would come back from a top manager saying, basically, yes, you understand it correct. You are not to tell the Food Stakeholders Advisory Committee about these fees from the direct request of the King County Executive. You're to hold off until basically at least October, which would have been just only a month before these fees were going to be actually raised. And then there were emails saying, from some apparently concerned managers saying, well, you know, I'm concerned that if we hide this from the Food Stakeholders Advisory Committee members, when they find out, they're going to feel blindsided. Well, duh.
And in fact, you had shown me some of those emails as early as July with Candace Dillman, who was the person that was the lead on the newsletter.
Yes, right? Candace Dillman is the person whose smiling face is in the upper right-hand corner of this newsletter that I read approximately March 1 that, you know, said hello and then talked about these increase in permit fees coming.
She had been one of the people expressing great concern, it's at least my interpretation of it, over basically changing, doing a 180 where they were saying originally they wanted to include these stakeholder committees, and then they're now saying that they don't want these guys to know what's going on.
Correct. I mean, I don't know what all was going on, but Candace Dillman was at the Food Stakeholder Advisory Committee meetings, at least some of them, because the, I mean, I've got agendas and minutes of various meetings, and she would be one of the people from the Department of Public Health who was present at the meetings at which they were sort of just glossing over the fees and saying that things like, you know, we want to have dialogue with the industry and that we have a fee structure that recognizes your realities. And at the same time, I know from these internal emails, she was aware of what was being planned and that they weren't telling these people this information, and quite intentionally holding that information back.
So in addition to the stakeholder advisory committees sounding like they're just a facade to present something to the restaurant people and the public that we had your representatives in on this, one of the things I found interesting from reading the November 15th notes from the King County Board of Health was that people who had testified against this, it wasn't just restaurant people, it was a significant number of school district representatives.
Yes, these food establishment permit fees sweep across the private sector and the public sector. So they were proposing to increase fees enormous amounts on school cafeterias and 501c3 charitable organizations, many churches, you know, which have soup kitchen kind of things in their church basement kitchens were affected by this as well. So in the case of the schools, and of course, you know, whatever fee is imposed upon a school, then that those fees get paid by taxpayers. It's just a shifting from one budget to another budget and just passes on. And again, to the extent that there are inspections that are more frequent and more inefficient than is needed or makes any sense, or that even other governmental agencies require, it's just inefficiency in government, your basic waste, fraud, and inefficiency, you know, one or all of those. So in the case of schools, pardon me, and I'm just sort of talking off the top of my head here a little bit, but there were a lot of letters and howls of protest from the food supervisors for various school districts that in the case of schools, the annual permit fee, I think, was something like about $80. And it was going to go to one of three different amounts, depending on whether you were an elementary school, junior high, or high school. And it was going to go to something like $250 or so if you were in elementary school, and then ranging up to something over $800 if you were a high school. And so there were letters from school district food supervisors and maybe some school principals even, pointing out that the United States Department of Agriculture only requires an annual inspection, and the inspections only take about 20 minutes anyway. And here we've got, you know, two inspections plus the third educational visit taking place. It's more inspections than needed, more time allowance than needed, and so on. And one letter was saying how they had, in one school district, they had, I think it was something like 34 schools, and were saying that instead of having this educational visit be, you know, an hour or 2 hours at each of 34 schools and be charged accordingly, that they could just get all 34 people together at one school's cafeteria all at once and just have, because it was sort of a review and so on. So they were offering efficiencies that were just falling on deaf ears. And then there were the church soup kitchen types, and these were had fees of about $70 or $80 a year, and was going to jump to something like $250. We're talking like three times. And these are organizations that are completely staffed by volunteers, in these times are having trouble making ends meet. And as they pointed out, another $180 in a permit fee is $180 we don't have to spend feeding people. And as it is, it's the $80 permit fee was being paid by volunteers so that they could keep this thing going, and the volunteers were donating food and so on. The whole thing is just completely crazy. These organizations are doing things that otherwise would have been paid for by public agencies. They're doing socially good things.
So we only have a few minutes left. It doesn't sound like you got a lot of people in King County Council were very receptive to your raising this these questions since then. How has people in your industry, other restaurateurs, local owners, reacted?
Well, one of the things I did in my public disclosure act request was I obtained copies of 30 protest letters that had been sent to the Department of Health by various restaurateurs. I don't think anybody in the Board of Health, I can't say this for sure, has seen those letters, but they were responded to by just a generic bureaucratic letter saying, you know, we had to do this, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, on my own time, I've been calling all of these people. And there's a lot of people that are just hopping mad, and I'm in the process of trying to organize them into a meeting at my hotel and create a plan of action and so on. Can I mention, you know, my website or my
Certainly.
Phone number
yeah.
or any of these contact
Please.
Things? Well, first of all, with regard to the one-stop shopping for information on my Public Disclosure Act activities regarding the kingdom and so on is simply to go to my website, www.armanyusufian.com. So it's simply my name, all run together, spelled out, A-R, M as in Mary, E, N as in Nancy, Y-O-U, S as in Sam, O-U, F as in Frank, I-A-N. If you're a restaurateur, feel free to call me at the University Plaza Hotel at 206-634-0100, extension 160. If you don't catch that number, it's the University Plaza Hotel. It's in the phone book. And be happy to talk to you about these restaurant fee increases. And see where this goes.
So at this point, still got 2 minutes. Where do you hope this will go at this juncture?
Well, I want to, at the very minimum, have these fee increases rescinded. Beyond that, there is an RCW, 70 point something or other, subparagraph 7, I think it is, that says that fees, license fees, these kinds of things that are invoked by governmental agencies are fees. They're not taxes. And so the fee cannot exceed the cost of delivering the service. In this case, the service is doing the inspection. Well, if the inspections really are only taking 10 minutes and they're allowing an hour, it appears to me there's overcharging, so, and has been overcharging for the last several years. And so I'm wondering whether there's an opportunity, and if it takes a lawsuit, maybe that's what's going to have to happen, to get these fees refunded back as far back as the statute of limitations goes. And I'm having conversations with county council members on the Board of Health about this.
All right. Well, with that, we're unfortunately out of time. Talking this morning with local businessman and managing partner in the investment group for University Plaza Hotel, Armin Yusufian. Armin, thank you for coming in this morning.
You're welcome, Mike.